Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE for the publishing of the financial results in the first quarter of 2012. For your information, this conference will be taped. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Groß. Good morning also from my side. I would like to welcome you to the phone conference. After the basic data you've heard in the annual general meeting last week, you will now hear the detailed figures for the first quarter presented by Mr. Bethe, CFO of Allianz SE. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for taking the time for us. As usual, I would like to present the most important figures to you in approximately 30 minutes and also tell you a few details about what drives these figures in the first quarter. Maybe we can also talk a little bit about the current situation. And then afterwards, I'm open to your questions and I'll try to answer them as best as possible. We'll start on page 3 of your documents with the highlights of the first quarter. With 30.1 billion euros, we had total revenues were stable compared to the previous year, so that was a very strong quarter, the second best we've ever had in economically difficult times. Operating profit increased 40% to 2.3 billion euros. That was, of course, supported by lower NatCat losses, but also driven by strong results in asset management and also in life insurance, especially when we look at the backdrop of the low interest rates. That was a really good result. Our net income grew by 58% to 1.4 billion euros, and our capital position continues to be strong. And in these difficult times and volatile times, capital is one of the most important points for us, not just from the point of view of our investors, but as well as from the point of view of our customers, because customers are looking for safe havens, and Allianz will remain to be such a safe haven. On page 4, you see the most important financial key figures: total revenues, operating profit, and the net income on a quarterly basis over time. So you can see that the first quarter of 2012 brought very good values in all three categories. Page 5 gives an overview of the so-called conglomerate solvency. So up to the point of the introduction of Solvency II, that is the most important guideline for us when it comes to solvency. And here our values have improved continuously from 2010 onwards to 183%. And also our shareholders' equity has grown strongly compared to the end of 2011, especially through the increase of unrealized gains and losses, especially in fixed income papers. And the reduced interest rates here lead to added value in the portfolio. Now I would like to bring your interest to the group financial results on page 7 and following. And here I would like to explain to you how the individual segments contributed to the 30.1 billion euros. 14.8 from P&C, 13.7 from Life Health, minus 4%. I'll talk about this in more detail, especially because of decreases in Italy. We have a very difficult situation there, and also a reduction in Asia. We closed our business in Japan, and that's reflected here. And then the asset management result, we still get excellent results from asset management, so an increase of 13%, growth of 13% compared to the previous year in the first quarter. On page 8, you see the operating profit from split up by our different segments: property, casualty, life, health, asset management, and corporate and other. In our PC, life, health, and asset management, we've seen significant improvements. Only in corporate and other, there was a deterioration that is to be traced to one-off effects. Those were, above all, large investments we've taken on the IT side. On the right-hand side of page 8, you can see the development of premiums. Largest increase in P&C with plus 526 million and an additional operating profit. And as I said before, this could be traced back to the lower number of natural catastrophes. We've had a really low amount of natural catastrophes in the first quarter. on page 9. That is one of the most difficult slides we have, and I will explain this in detail. The most important line is the first: realize gains and losses and impairments of investments net. Net means after the shareholder participation. On the right-hand side, in the gray box, you can see the individual components, both of the realized gains and losses and of the impairments. One important position here is the reduction of realized gains and losses in equities from 216 to 109 million euro. Last year we had significant results from ICBC shares that we sold, so that is now a more normalized result, if you wish. When we come to debt securities, we had a realization loss this quarter, which is also due to the fact that we improved our positions and de-risked our risk capital, and we're willing to forego some profit for that. When we look at impairments here, the value has changed from -83 to -123 million, driven above all by the equities position, and the question will come, what's behind that? And we had one significant holding, the Banco Popular in Spain, where we had impairments of 77 million euros. That is the most important change compared to the first quarter of 2011 that you're seeing here. Now let me go back to the left side. Interest expense, fully consolidated private equity investments, restructuring charges, acquisition related expenses, and others. There were no major changes here. The other non-operating costs, we had a positive result of 203 million, where we made an important step forward. And what's behind that? The second to last line, income from financial assets and liabilities carried at face value. Here we have the profit from the sale of the Hartford warrants that we sold at the end of March. We will receive additional positive results from this transaction in the second quarter, where we have a coupon of 10% from indentures, and that will be booked in the second quarter, and then we still have the shares of Hartford, and we haven't decided yet what to do with them. On two pieces of information are important on the right-hand side. When we look at the balance of unrealized gains and losses, both in equities and fixed income, both positions have been increased strongly by 2.3 billion euros in sum. What does this mean? Well, in the non-operating items, we didn't take any additional realizations of gains to brush up the result, and we've told you over the last 10 decades or quarters that we wouldn't do this because it would be to the detriment of our balance sheet, and we've foregone this once more. Let me now come to page 10, an important point of view, or clear in the focus we have on the exposure to selected sovereign bonds, and here you see the development, and only 8%, and amongst them 7.2% are from Italy, so only 8.4% of our total fixed income portfolio are in peripheral countries. Ireland, Portugal, Spain aren't relevant in some. Spain is at 1%, and as I said, Italy above 7%. And on the right-hand side, you can see the unrealized gains and losses on these government bonds. And if you look at these figures, if you included Italy with minus 1 billion gross and minus 116 million net, these are basically values that don't play a significant role. Some of the values have gone up, but they're still significantly below what we've seen historically, because Allianz is doing a systematic de-risking. Wherever we can reduce our risks, we're doing this in a way that is to protect the margins. And so there's low liquidity in some of these papers. But let me now come to the development of the net income. The individual components, ladies and gentlemen, you can find on page 11. And what stands out here is the fact that we still have a very high effective tax rate of 35%. Of the long term, it used to be around 30% for Allianz, and in the first quarter we had some special effects that needed to be taken into account. Now I would like to come to the individual business segments. And here I would like to start in property and casualty, starting on page 13. In P&C, we had a solid operating development in the first quarter. Revenue growth of 3.8% to 14.8 billion euros, which is the highest value historically in a single quarter, and that reflects both positive price and positive volume effects. Our operating profit increased 79.3% to 1.2 billion euros, supported, as I said, by lower net capital losses, and the combined ratio was at 96.2%, with only 0.4 percentage points of natural catastrophes and 2.6 percentage points of favorable runoff below the values that we've seen in the last quarter, so that shows the high quality of the combined ratio. On page 14, you can see an overview about overview of the growth dynamics in our most important markets, starting with Germany, Switzerland, France, and Italy. And you can see that with the exception of Spain, where we are in the midst of a deep recession, and Eastern Europe, where we still see a weak motor market, that we're growing all around. We're flat in France compared to the previous year because we had reduced volumes in the brokerage business, but in sum, everything is going great. And as I said before, both thanks to higher prices and also to higher volumes, as you can see on the left-hand side. So that's a really positive development for our whole portfolio. Of course, we still have the situation that in some of the markets we need to grow stronger in order to offset loss inflation, but nevertheless, the portfolio in sum is on a very good path. And on page 15, you can see this reflected in our operating profit. The underwriting result has been improved clearly, and also the investment result in spite of reduced interest rates. Maybe we could take a closer look at page 16 now. That's the development of the combined ratio in the most important countries. You can see that in all countries, with the exception of the United States, where we're still going through a restructuring initiative that we need to implement, we still have combined ratios in all the other markets of some of them significantly below 100%, and I might add this, even though in France and Germany we had significant losses in the first quarter from water damages from pipes that broke, these are not under natural catastrophes, but piping damages or piping losses. We had them also in the last year, but in Germany in the last year they came in the second quarter, so it was a shift to the first quarter this year. So this is a market where we need to see significant price increase and improvements of the terms and conditions so that we can offer good services over the long term. Page 17 is one of the most technical slides, and we try to give the expert reader here an overview of the development of the individual components on the loss side. You see four components here. The loss ratio for the accident year on the left, top left, where we differentiate between natural catastrophes and results excluding natural catastrophes. Now, one of the other might say, Mr. Bates, that those figures are going up also without also excluding natural catastrophes. And yes, that's true. But here we have the damages from piping falls and leakages, and you can also see this on the other side. You see the green line going up here, and on the bottom left you see the individual components. And when we look at frequency and severity, once again the piping damages are included, and also the results in the United States. The runoff ratio on the right hand side is as low as it's the lowest of the last 2 years. Now we'll leave the complex technology and come to page 18. Clear message: the expense ratio is stable in the most important markets, Germany, France, Italy, United States. We were able to improve our operating results. So where costs rise strongly, we're growing significantly. That's, for example, true for Australia, where we seizing the opportunities there to also improve our infrastructure. On page 19, you can see the development of our investment portfolio. Here it's important that we buffer the low interest rate situation that we have. And you can see that from the first quarter 2010 to today, we gained another 700 million and plus of 3.7% compared to the first quarter of 2011. The current yield is stable in spite of the low interest rates, which shows the positive development of our investments, which is also reflected on page 20. So in spite of significantly dropped long-term interest rates, especially in Germany, we were able to maintain a stable investment income. So that, so much for P&C, and now I would like to move over to the next chapter, Life and Health, starting on page 22 with the most important messages from this segment. Here, our revenues were down 4% to 13.7 billion euros with an increased operating asset base of 444.3 billion euros. For us, that's the more important figure because the profitability of this business is according to the operating asset base and the margin on this, and not so much on the revenues per quarter. The operating profit grew by 18% to 0.8 billion euros, so we are clearly within the corridor for the business year, and the value of our new business has a margin of 1.9% and creates a value of new business of 0.2 billion euros for the first quarter. You see the revenue development on page 23. You can see that especially in investment-oriented products, we've had a decline for several quarters, and on the right-hand side, you can see the individual drivers. The most important components here on the most important drivers here are Italy and Asia. In other markets, especially where we see good margins, like in Central and Eastern Europe, we were able to grow. So Allianz Life in Germany is also doing great. We're improving our market position, and that's due to the trust that Allianz has in Germany. We're also growing in Switzerland and France, and the same is true for Benelux. Spain, the same as with PNC, the country in the deep recession, and customers don't spend much money on life insurance, and we're in competition with banks that offer irrationally high deposit interest rates. But what's going on in Italy? Well, in Italy, a significant part of our business is through our banking partners, especially UniCredit. And in the first quarter, the bank had to make sure that they secured their own liquidity before selling life insurance products. But according to plan, the situation will improve over the course of the year, so that we believe that the revenue development in Italy will stabilize over the course of the year, and we will see a significant improvement there. Figures in Asia-Pacific, here we have the closure of a Japanese business and very difficult market conditions in Taiwan, where there are many products with problematic structures, so a competition that we don't want to go into too much also in the interest of our customers. So that drives our development, and that is especially true with investment-oriented products, where we are often in competition with banking products. And you can also see the development of our traditional business, where we are in no competition and where we see very good results. Page 24, here you can see the development of our new business. We have divided this here in new business margin and present value of the new business premiums. And what you can see here is that thanks to the increased business with recurring premiums, The present value has gone up to 11.5 billion euros, an excellent value, but the margin has declined. And that's due to the difficult market situation, to the high competition. We have negative yields in the United States, and which is problematic. And over the long term, this will also get difficult if the people saving have to pay for weak government budgets and finances. And as Mr. Diekmann also said on the annual general meetings, and I'd like to repeat this, so it's not just negative for us as an insurer, but also for the savers, because we get negative returns. And on the right-hand side, you can see the value of new business that's relatively stable with 223 million, but significantly below the values of previous years due to the reduced interest rates. Page 25, the development of the asset base. As I said before, the operating asset base is important for us, and the individual segments you see here, net inflows, interest and market effects, effects. Net inflows were slightly positive in the first quarter, and the figures would have been better by approximately 1 billion, excluding the special situation that I just mentioned in Italy. And as I just told you, the situation in Italy will improve. The April values were dramatically above them of March, and I think we will have significantly positive net inflows, assuming a relatively stable structure and not too much volatility. Page 26, operating profit was really good, given the competition and the interest rate situation, we've seen a great result here, an increase of in the first quarter, and also our asset base, as you can see on page 27, has grown again, and the current yield has remained stable. And as I said, with PNC, that's not easy in the situation and against the backdrop, but our investors will find alternatives, be it in infrastructure or real estate. So we are on an excellent path for our customers, as you can also see on page 28, where you see the net harvesting operating that drives our investment income. Which directly brings me to our asset management business. Asset management once again had a great first quarter. Our assets under management grew by 10.7% to an incredible 1.7 trillion. So we had outflows in the fourth quarter, but now we have net inflows again of an unbelievable 23.5 billion euros, which also increases the operating profit by 16.1% to 0.6 billion euros. And at the same time, we were able to implement our new structure for Allianz Asset Management with PIMCO and Allianz Global Investors. So that wasn't easy to achieve this result. Page 31 shows you the impressive development of the total assets under management, both of Allianz Group assets and third-party assets under management. And we've done, if you want to compare figures, I need to make sure that you understand that we made some accounting changes. We realized that we had 50 billion of assets which don't fall under the closed definition of assets under management, but in part are only administered by us, and that changes the figure. So that is the refined, the plus 15.1 based on the refined definition. So on the third page, you can see the 23.5 billion euros inflows, great value in third-party net flow. On page 33, you can see a plus of 12.7% in net fees and commissions. Here the income is up to 1.4%, and we have a margin in basis points of almost 42%. That's an excellent value in the industry. Operating profit on page 34. I'm a little bit quick now because I want to give you more time for your questions later on. You can see that our cost-income ratio is at 57.4%, and with this we've crossed the magic threshold of 58%, so great, great value, which stems from the increased net fee and commission income. Costs are always increasing because they are following the asset management, and that is why operating expenses grow when we get more assets under management. Now, what does it look like with our two segments, PIMCO and Allianz Global Investors? The answer to this you can find on page 35 and 36. Here you see the net inflows, the three-year outperformance, the total net flows, and the operating profit development, and you can clearly see how in the new setup, which I highlighted in light blue, what the values look like. Great results with PIMCO, strong growth. I don't want to go into any details here. Net inflows 24.7 and in In the new structure, cost income ratio of 52.2%. Slight increase because we're investing in the expansion of PIMCO's business in Europe and also in new products. Page 36, the development of Allianz Global Investors. Here it looks as if the total net flows were negative, but that's a purely accounting, effect. Third party flows grew by 1.3 billion, so the net value is due to rebooking of Allianz internal assets that we did in the framework of the clarification here. So 1.6% in the first quarter in third party inflows, positive results. The operating profit in the first quarter, we had restructuring cost of 78 million. That was significant, and we want to bring the cost income ratio of 75% over time under 70% to reach a good industry value. So in sum, we're very satisfied with the development of our asset management result in the first quarter, especially if we look at the difficult market conditions. We're still seeing outflows in many of our competitors, so we can really be proud of the results we've generated in this segment, and it also shows the good hedge that we have within our business portfolio. In times of low interest rates, that put a lot of pressure on the life insurance business, not so much in Allianz, but in the industry in general. Thanks to the strong position, especially of PIMCO on the fixed interest rate side, we get a positive contribution. So to sum this up, on page 38, we had a very good start into the year 2012 with excellent values for total revenue in capital position and net income and operating profit. And that's why we once again say that we are on track to reach our operating profit outlook of 8.2 billion euros plus minus 0.5 billion euros. Again, as always, with a caveat, if there were major turbulences in the capital markets, this could change. But right now, we're cautiously optimistic. Thank you very much, and I'm open, looking forward to your questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal their questions.
Our first question comes from Michael Fleming from Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Michael Fleming from Börsen-Zeitung. I have three questions. You said that you're satisfied with the P&C, and at the same time you also said that a few markets should grow faster and better. How do you assess the development in Germany in the first quarter in this respect? The second question regards Italian life. And you said that you're going to see improvement in April and April anyway, but the low volume stayed for a lot of quarters back on this sector. What is the value of strategic participations in banks if the volume has been reduced in an emergency case? And the third case relates to government bonds, and you said that market has been reduced. What are the positions in which countries? What are the volumes that we see concerned in which countries? Good morning, Mr. Fleming. Thank you very much for the questions. I'd like to start with the third one, and then unfortunately, for the individual trade icons, and based on the position that Allianz is the biggest investor, we also would not like to say that much of it because that would drive the prices. I kindly ask you for understanding that I cannot answer that question, but I'm trying to do. We're going to reduce non-local cross-border government bonds. We showed it in a total because it showed in the crisis because that is the exact thing to do, and where there's need, we can do that. Italian life, and also your actual question was not about life insurance in Italy, but the question of bank shareholdings and strategic shareholdings, which is a very difficult question, in fact, because for the following reason. It is not only to hedge and secure strategic partnerships, but also based on Solvency II, and that applies to Basel III as well. On the other hand, shareholders and other service financial service providers is going to be punished by regulators. It's independent from the strategic industry investors. We are forced by the industry to systematically double check and reduce, particularly by Allianz, because from the perspective of the regulators, this will accumulate risk. This also makes it difficult not to only invest into equities of other banks, and this is mainly driven by solvency, so dependent from the actual interests of Allianz. In the partnership with UniCredit, in the past few years, we've made very good experience. We have a very good relationship with the management of UniCredit, but we need to be aware that a bank in a crisis always has to make sure that they stabilize themselves from within. It doesn't help us if they sell life insurance and they end up having a bad business in the end. On the other hand, well, in the financial crisis, we've learned that sales and distribution results significantly dropped. Other peers are willing to accept negative margin distribution. I could do volume tomorrow very easily, Mr. Fleming, but we don't want that. But in a partnership, we want to generate profitable business, and it shows at this time as well that profitability ranks before sales. And which is not the case in the whole of industry. Third question, P&C in Germany. We're very satisfied that the systematic loss in the sales over various years has now come to a standstill. Mr. Rees is making a very good job in all distribution channels and all segments in redesigning product portfolios. And also Mein Auto, for example, My Car, this is a nice product through all iSecure, iOS, and our agencies and our agent connections, doing what we should do for a longer time in order to expand our market position. Nevertheless, despite the enormous price sensitivity in Germany, there's still the question, how can you grow without a margin, without losing a margin? And that's not becoming easier. That's why this point we need to reduce that and become more efficient, because on the unit cost price, our distribution costs are particularly too high. But on the total, on the bottom line, we're on a well track, we have good new products, and we have a highly motivated sales staff at the moment. We're very content with the development. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Our next question comes from Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones. Ms. Dauer? I'm sorry, yeah. I hadn't released the mute. Good morning. I have three questions, if I may. The special effects of taxes, can you explain on that a bit more? And secondly, I'd like to know more about the new price effects, and because there's that 2% year-to-date, is that the figure that we can use and that we can prolong into the future? And one more question regarding the AGM that I took from the AGM. So acquisitions in Italy, what's the horizon going on there? So what is the target, and also agent business? I'm not aware of the structure, but probably you can outline a bit the situation. Yes, Ms. Dauer. Currently, for the last topic, we check everything that comes on our desk. There's nothing concrete going on in Italy at the moment, and that's why I cannot say anything about Italy. 2%, yes, that is a benchmark, that is for sure, and that is of the new business price, that is the price increases and the existing business and taxes. I'm not sure what you're particularly interested in. We have less tax exempted income that we had. It's also unrealized gains on shares. It was relatively low, which explains part of it. And secondly, we have higher trade taxes in various countries that had to be paid. So governments opening their hands in order to refinance their situation, to put it frankly. And this is going to express in higher tax burdens. And the third component is due to the higher revenue unit from the U.S., PIMCO, which is subject to a higher border tax and a threshold tax. Then also this increases the mix of the tax payment. And so we consequently work on an improvement. I hope that I was able to answer your question. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Our next question comes from Christian Kremer from Reuters. Hello, I have three questions. Italy, Moody's, yesterday night, this morning, offered a big bang, and they downgraded all the banks really considerably. So your perspective on Italy was still positive. So based on Moody's assessment, probably, is that too positive? Second question, the general euro crisis topic after the elections in France, and with the contradictions between Merkel and Hollande, and also after the elections in Greece, with the new elections that seem to come, and the lack of government in Greece, what is your perspective? How can this financial crisis be solved? And would you believe that Greece leaving the Eurozone could be avoided? And also further to acquisitions, I'm not too interested in Italy, but rather France, whether exclusive negotiations going on, generally speaking. Is there a takeover of Allianz going on the doorstep? Yes, good morning, Mr. Klimmer. So, you know, the last question. I can't and may not answer this last question for the legal reasons that we have. You're right. We're still performing exclusive negotiations. Further to Italy, let me start with that, and then we're going to talk about the outlook for the Greek situation. That was your actual question. And further to Moody's, well, I've checked that. I'm not in a position to assess or criticize rating agencies, and it is their job. That's what they do. Based on our findings, we fully confirmed the situation in Italy. Government has made real progress comparing with the previous years. However, it's difficult to assess that because Italy is not working in an isolation. If you look at the situation in the Eurozone deteriorates, Italian can be out. But we fully support that. A lot of the key figures applying to the banks in Italy are better than in other countries. Please please forgive me that I'm not saying that which country, but their banking structures in other countries, leverage ratios or exposures towards real estate credit, is much worse. Personally saying, as regards the Italian situation and the financial system and government, we still trust in that system. But, of course, it is understandable that a rating agency has to look at this scenario on a worst-case scenario and take their own decision. And so we still see that the development in Italy is positive. Further to Greece, our basic scenario is that Greece stays within the Eurozone. Well, it's important, of course, that the Greek politics show the will to go on with the consolidation course, and also to return the structural budget deficit and to go on with that. And the financial gaps based on recession cannot be avoided, and of course you need to tolerate them. In Greece, like in other parts of Europe as well, at the same time we need to growth-oriented reforms, particularly in Greece. We need to the public administration is quite difficult. We have a lot of problems with shadow economy and more competition, more privatization. That's what we'd like to see. And Mr. Diekmann has requested that, and he called it Marshall Plan. And we need a long-term plan and a financial support so that to ensure that these structural reforms will be successful. We cannot explain something new every 2 weeks. I'm getting tired, to be honest, that this country is being chased from one problem to the other, because there's always a new pig coming around the corner, and the problems are very obvious, and there are a lot of people who work consolidated. And only because one quarter does not show these beautiful figures, I mean, this is not the end of the world. We need to consequently work on that. Politics is difficult. I'm not a politician. I'm not an expert on politics. But it's important that all parties in Greece and also other worlds, that everything sounds great with exit of Greece, but that will not solve the problem. If the worst case should materialize and if Greece terminates the Troika memorandum and stops the payments, then of course everyone needs to know in Greece there will not be payments from Europe. That means the country will be bankrupt by summer and unable to pay salaries. And a bankruptcy of this country would, of course, lead to the exit of Greece from the Eurozone, and the consequences for this country would be devastating. And that's why it needs to be avoided. Very important. other countries might be infected as well, and that's why a solution would be really, really expensive for taxpayers in Germany, because those who call for the end of the shock and for the end of the scenario should think twice. If I may ask you, if you say that your basic scenario is that three stays in there, what do you think is the likelihood for the worst case? I can't say today. If I could control that, I could say that, but we're not leveraging that. We have a clear position towards the economy and the government. The government has to decide, and so we need to... So I don't give you any speculations about the likelihood scenarios. Thank you very much. Herbert Frommer, Financial Times, Deutschland. Our next question. Thank you very much. Good morning. I'd like to know, Hartford, can you give us a few more details about the profit of this transaction and how this is going to be reflected in the net results and the net income over time? And you provide a current return in the life insurance over long term. Can we analyze that, or how do we get analyzed values in this respect? And what is your idea about the trend then for this year and coming year? You mentioned the figure before about the return that you achieve with new investments. I was distracted. Probably you can repeat that, please. And I also would like to see, please, see that tap water, and that this should have to be seen under NADCAT. Oh, I never understood that, because I thought it was contamination or the result of old buildings and old pipes. So what do you do in Germany and France in order to tackle the problem, Mr. Frommer? Good morning. Well, further to reinvestment return. Oh, no, I didn't say that. You haven't missed it. So that's the current return. But I'd like to answer the question about the reinvestment of the return that related significantly in the first quarter, above 4.5% in the first quarter, which is a very good value, particularly if you compare with the risk-free scenario, which is negative in the U.S., and it is zero inflation adjustment. It's very important that this is our return for reinvestment. And we have an achievable target above 4% return. We need to stay in that, in reinvestment. And given the framework conditions, it is not going to be easy. But since we significantly change our portfolio through real estate financing, infrastructure, for example, Gaslet, you know that, the Norwegian gas pipeline, that is included in our results with very nice results and contribution drivers. In the first driver is 17 million with the income. That helps us a lot. And of course, we need to balance this out. We try to balance this out on the risk side as well. Also, we do not purchase any particularly exposed investments. Of course, we need to disperse that. We need to mix that. And that's why, as a risk executive and risk board member, I'm fully happy with the risk assessments and risk investments. Well, how to go on with the P&C? I was just saying with that, if you look at the combined ratio in the first quarter underneath, then you'll always see the big burdens outside NatCat in winter in the first and second quarter. There might be different effects, like in summer, if we have hailstorms in summer or in autumn. But I'd like to focus on the seasonality of the occurrence of the damage, rather than that this is being part of the NatCat. So the question is like, yeah, of course, what do we do with tap water damage? This significantly contains significant components. First of all, it has nothing to do with Allianz. The market has to reassess and reevaluate these risks. We see price increases, particularly for existing inventories and old properties, which need to reflect the increasing repair costs. That's one part. The second part, it needs to be reflected in the design of the rates, because we do not have any sufficient differentiation that applies to Germany and France based on the building quality of the real estate, of the properties. That's what we do, technically. We expect that profitability of this line will be improving over the next 2 years significantly. Hartford investment. Well, for legal reasons, I can't say much about the exact item of the balance sheet, because that relates to the second quarter. We've got three parts. I'm going to give you an indicator. First of all, there's a so-called warrant. We got them for free back then, which is really important. And in the trading result, there were 180 million gross. Deducted should the taxes need to be deducted on the taxes on the sales, which is 52 million coming from these warrants. An additional tax burden for the dilution payment. So we have received $209 million for the warrants, which we also bore in taxes, and the net result was 84 million in the net income. Yeah, euro. Yes, 84 euro, Mr. Frommer. And in the second quarter, profits from the bonds will be entered, and then of course we do know the amount more or less, but it will be net in the two-digit million amount. That was 1.4 billion that they said they earned. Yes, but a majority of this benefit will go to our insured and to our policyholders. The benefit was coming through the life insurance. It's great, excellent investment. It also reflected in better returns for our customers, which is excellent. Two more probes. In asset management, you say 387 million assets for policyholders. On the AGM, Mr. Achlat talked about 406. Is that the difference because of the amount that is not invested by your own asset manager? So where does the difference come from? And the second thing in the IT, Mr. Weiler of the Committee of Capital Investment said that insurance companies they should negotiating with banks about standardization of securities from bank loans that they give to the insurers giving to banks. What do you think of the talks? Yeah, I've read about this topic in the this morning. I'm not involved in that. Please understand me that I can't say that much about it, but it sounds like a good idea. And also, we also provided a few improvements in the bonds. And so everything that helps to improve profitability and to disburden the banks, then that's also good for them. And like in asset management, it's like you said, the difference is because of the assets under management. And if you look at the life insurance and the P&C assets, if you add them, and if you the difference to the assets under management is what we do not have in our own asset management for the various reasons. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Let's see, ladies and gentlemen. Please press asterisk in order to ask a question. Axel Höfner from the Handelsblatt. Good morning, Mr. Better, Mr. Groß. I have three open questions. First of all, the first quarter was above expectations. The second quarter runs were fine. Are you looking towards the upper level of the profit forecast? The second question, what about Spain? What is the danger of infection in this respect, and further to reduce the commitment in Italian life insurance? Is this motivated only because of the low margin through the bank business, or does that also imply Italy-specific reasons? Mr. Höfner, let me talk about the last question first. We do not include any Italy-specific topics. It is definitely because particularly UniCredit, which is our main partner, primarily sells deposits and less life insurance in their own deposits, for their own deposits, which particularly applied for the last three quarters and the first quarter as well. But as of February, where we have seen significant improvements since February, we had the biggest outflow in the change of the year, and in March and April, this looks very positive. And we've made very good agreements with the banks in order to ensure that net inflows are going to become positive again. So it is not a purposeful reduction from Allianz, no. Spain, we do see the situation is critical, particularly the recapitalization of the bank sector must be successful. That's the fourth attempt. And so we can only congratulate the government that the uncertainty is gone, that the risk provision for the real estate is significantly improved. which means that the share prices on the Spanish share prices are coming under pressure, and that's why we've written down for Banco Popular, and it has been adjusted, and it's not going to be considered. At the same time, we're convinced that our banking partner is very stable. We've got a very solid joint venture, both in asset management and also in life insurance, and business are running fine with, you know, giving the framework conditions. What is your percentage that you have in Banco Popular? What is the holding percentage? Currently, we have roughly above 7% shareholding in Banco Popular, but in the course of the merger that they have with Pastor, it's going to be reduced in the next 2 years to more or less 5%. And your first question, very related to the forecast, are we going to increase the forecast? No, Mr. Hoffman, we're not going to lift that. One reason, Spain, we just said it, and you also can follow directions on the capital market, on the capital market for the past 2 days, and with 600 billion balance sheet, we are linked with the market, and of course, we can also get a hit on some of our results and due to the situation. So whatever we do in risk management, we try to key it to hedge the balance sheet as good as possible. But you cannot fully balance the net income towards external shocks. We hope that it's going to calm down over the year, and we're still very careful. We are still very careful.
Mr. Kutzinger, Reuters has a follow-up question.
Just a short question. First of all, I would like to thank you for your concise presentation. That industry-leading, as you would say, I read in the newspaper that you don't want to remain in this position and you're aiming for a different position. So my question, how long will you remain CFO? Okay, first of all, I'm not the one to decide on that, so that's the supervisor board. You would have to ask them. And then the other point is that we have a long-term personnel strategy, and if there are any changes, Mr. Diekmann or Mr. Perlet will communicate this. I'm just trying to do my job right now. I would like to thank you for your for praising me here. And but you can say whether you want to stay. Well, I feel really well in my current position. Is that okay for you? Well, not too much, but all right. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Just to remind you, please press *1 in order to ask a question. Our next question is by Oliver Zeus of Bloomberg. Good morning. Just 2 points I would like to talk about. First of all, the 5.3% of shares that you have in Hartford. Is that the size of the holding that you will continue for the next 100 years or so? And then you were talking about the restructuring in the United States and that there's a lot to do there. Could you just say a few words about the broad strategy, the framework there? Okay, first of all, Mr. Zeus, the first topic, Hartford. Well, we're looking at this intensively. We've given up the first two holdings. We support the Hartford management, consequently, in its attempts to bring the company forward. And if time comes up, we will then deal with our shareholdings there. But right now, we haven't taken any decisions. Then the question, Fireman's Fund, that's a good question, because here we are working intensively on restructuring. So two or three framework conditions to explain this. The U.S. P&C market is still in a very difficult situation, especially when it comes to corporate insurances. Here, significant technical losses are written. This is especially true for workers' compensation, where medical inflation is in the double-digit range. The public hassles are immensely under pressure in the United States, and they are trying to push the medical inflation over to the insurers. So we need to make sure that we strengthen our reserves for that. I don't foresee a significant improvement for the second quarter, and I would say that 2012 will continue to be a difficult year for Fireman's Fund. At the meantime, we're working at full steam on the necessary improvements, and in the first quarter we've been able to reduce the cost significantly. Our combined ratio is not that bad. We're just too expensive regarding the volumes we're underwriting. And the second point is that we've set up new pricing models in all segments, so we need to push through price increases, especially in P&C, and as I mentioned before, also in the area of workers' compensation. That's the program that Gary Pujwani, my new colleague with his team, will deal with, and we will not see a quick change of the results over 2012. That's not realistic. And just broadly, will 2013 then be the year of the change? Yeah, I assume a better result for 2013. Let's say that. Okay, thank you very much. You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, currently we don't have any additional questions. Okay, we're still here for you if you have any additional questions. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, please press *1 in order to ask a question. Okay, then, I would say thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in and for your attention. Our colleagues from Group Communication are looking forward to your questions if you have any additional questions after the call, and look forward to seeing and hearing you again. Have a great day. Ladies and gentlemen, that ends today's conference. We thank you for your participation and hope you will have a great day. Thank you.